Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. We're live again on a Monday night here in the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can get a hold of us tonight via social media, the TJSlideways.com Facebook fan page. You can also use our Twitter account at TJSlideways, also our email account, TJ@TJSlideways.com. And the season wound down over the weekend pretty much for the United States. Only a couple of events left on the schedule. Things heating up in Australia, though, and New Zealand. Things starting to get going over there. And a lot of news starting to come out of racing banquets. And a couple of our guests are a couple of the big headline makers over the weekend. In segment two tonight, we're going to have Jason Johnson on. He's going to talk about winning another ASCS National Sprint Car title and what might be in store for Jason in the future in 2014. And then a driver that did announce his plans being part of Larson Marks Racing in 2014. Shane Stewart going to join us to talk about his new opportunity in segment three. So Jason Johnson, segment two, and Shane Stewart in segment number three. And of course, our guest Jason Johnson winning a couple of races to finish off that ASCS National Sprint Car season over at the Copa Speedway over in Somerton, Arizona. He had a remarkable season. 10 feature wins. The next closest person on that tour had 5. So that's a pretty remarkable deal. Of course, Donnie Schatz winning the opening night of the World Finals, so Paul McMahon finishing it off, and Darren Pittman, who we had on the show earlier this year, winning the World of Outlaws Championship. And there's been a lot said about the point system with the World of Outlaws, and some criticism about, well, some people saying that Darren outqualified Schatz and whatnot. And the thing you have to remember is that point system didn't change halfway through the year. It didn't change partway through the season. It was the same from beginning to end. So everyone was playing on the same field, and Pittman won the championship. And that's really all there is to it. And Schatz has had an amazing season. He has nothing to look down upon at all. I mean, the amount of feature wins, another Knoxville Nationals title, the famous sprint car late model doubleheader victory in North Dakota. That was pretty remarkable. Just an unbelievable season. Nothing to be ashamed of at all. But if you look at the beginning of the season, it's something about that combination with Pittman clicked in Casey Kane Racing. And I was one that thought it would take them a little bit to get going. I really thought that with Pittman and Casey Kane Racing, I thought, well, they'll probably hit their stride May, June. And they were fast right off the bat. And he's the first driver to hold the point lead from the first race to the last race, which is absolutely remarkable. I mean, won the first World of Outlaw event of the year. Sometimes combinations just click, and obviously they did. We had Pittman on earlier this year talking about it. That team did a remarkable job, and kudos to them. I know that Casey Kane and that whole bunch are extremely proud of everything they've managed to accomplish this year. And personally, I thought the on-track product with the World of Outlaws was good. Every time I saw it at several different venues, saw it at Fremont, I-96, Eldora. And every time I saw a race, it was really good. And I don't know if when we started that website, I don't know if I could say that. I mean, you'd see one good one once in a while, and you'd see a lot of them that were like, oh, that was okay. It's a good thing to go to. But I thought the racing this year was pretty good. I'm still not a huge fan of the double file restarts. I still think it makes for some more competitive racing, but I think it's a little too hard in some of the smaller teams that keeping them on the road. And if you look at sprint car racing right now, if a couple of teams can make that jump up to the World of Outlaws Tour, let's say, you know, a couple of guys that maybe are on the ASCS Tour now, a couple of the regional guys that are starting to hit, if you get 3 or 4 of those young guys that can manage to pull the resources to be able to do the Outlaw Tour, I think we could be in for a real treat over the next few years. There's some really remarkable talent starting to come up through the sprint car ranks. And the wing sprint car ranks, it's really kind of interesting right now what's going on over there. And there are some really good young drivers. It's just a matter of seeing if the teams can step it up financially to that next level to be able to stay on the road with the World of Outlaws. That's so key. It's just when you get to the racetrack, the costs really aren't necessarily that much more. It's staying out on the road and pounding the road and just the number of times you have to do it. One race with the World of Outlaws doesn't cost necessarily as much as the next one. It's getting there and back and doing it 80, 90 times a year. That's where the costs really come in. So, but Pittman picking up that first championship, and congratulations all to that bunch. So we will have one of the champions with Jason Johnson on a little bit earlier. Bob Buffenbarger made his way out to the Sprints on Dirt banquet on Saturday. I believe it was in Parchment, actually, where they had it there, the Fountains Banquet Center. And some interesting things coming out of that program. It looks like that Plymouth Speedway in Plymouth, Indiana, possibly with three dates next year. From what I'm hearing, they're going to have the season finale for the Sprints on Dirt next year. So a change of venue for that. And also the Berlin event will be back in 2014, and it will be on a Saturday. And this could be kind of interesting. That Saturday event at Berlin, moving it to a Saturday, I don't know where it's going to exactly fall, if it's going to be on Four Crown weekend or if it's going to be maybe against the Sprintacular or fall in between. I wonder what that's going to do to the field of cars. I think there'll be a good field of cars still. You might not see the Shane Stewarts and Lucas Wolfs and everyone in the world if it's on a Saturday, but I think you could see some more NRA drivers possibly there. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out, but it is going to be on a Saturday for 2014. Otherwise, it's pretty much business as usual over there. There's a few different events you're going to see. There's possibly one additional track that's being worked on right now in the Sprints on Dirt schedule. Another Indiana date possible, a possibility for that series. We're going to have to wait and see what happens. But otherwise, it seems like everyone's pretty happy over there. You're going to see Tri-City back on the schedule. They were the track of the year, and Dustin Daggett picking up another championship over there. But a very nice time over there. I want to thank everyone from Sprints on Dirt for all of their help during the 2013 season. I had a good time, Bob. I know Bob and my mother Pam had a great time over there, you know, at the banquet there. And it's always kind of a fun banquet to get to. It's pretty laid back and interesting to see everyone dress up for the night and out for a good time. And that seems to be the rubber chicken circuit is in full swing right now. A lot of banquets. And we're going to start seeing some news coming out about race dates and such. Nothing real remarkable yet. But I have a feeling we're going to see a couple of showstoppers before trade show season is up because there are a lot of interesting things happening schedule-wise right now. It seems like KC Raceway seems to be making a big move in some big events. They have a Summer Nationals event, and they're getting ready to announce, it sounds like, a pretty big sprint car event down there. So if you're going to come back, you might as well do it with gusto. It seems like now at Chillicothe, they're managing to do it. And I'm kind of interested to see also how the fall races stack up for next year. We saw an Eldora press release today that, you know, sometimes you have to pay attention to these things. It's kind of interesting. It was an Eldora press release about stock cars. You might want to go, well, why would you care about the stock car division? Well, one little tidbit in there talks about what the stock car division would be supporting, and it sounds like that Ohio Speed Week was successful enough that it will return in 2014 to Eldora Speedway because it was listed in there as one of the races they'd be supporting. So that's a good thing. After years of not having Ohio Speed Week at Eldora Speedway, and when it was at the end, traditionally the car count would suffer a little bit. In the years that I was going, in the late 80s, early 90s, you'd kind of get everyone's tongue hanging out. You'd be dragging into Eldora. But some of the most exciting memories I can ever think of Ohio Speedway have taken place there. I remember one race between Frankie Kerr and Kevin Huntley. I was one for the ages. Slide jobs back and forth. It was really good. Huntley running down Kerr from a significant distance back to take that win. And then also the Dale Blaney race where he was going for the $50,000 bonus. That was an incredible sprint car race that night. And it just had twists and turns and plot turns at every corner. And a lot of different guys up front. And it was just an amazing race. And it seems like, you know, this year's class with the Honschild getting up on the fence. A lot of people said they hadn't seen Eldora up on the fence like that in quite a few years, and it was a lot of fun. So it just seems like there's something about the All-Stars in Eldora. I hope the October race comes back. You know, that one was a little bit up in the air before the race. They wanted to see how it was going to go. Hopefully it went well enough that that one will come back. So the drivers obviously enjoyed it, as with all the cars that did show up, over 100 sprint cars there that night. But Speed Week is coming back for sure at Eldora Speedway. And they announced that today because the stock cars are going to be supporting it. So you got to read between the lines there, and sometimes you can pick up a little tidbit here and there. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to bring back Jason Johnson, who won yet another ASCS National Championship for his race team. He's won a multitude of them as a driver and an owner. So it's going to be kind of interesting to get his take on that, his Australia plans for this year, and when he's going to come back to the States. So Jason Johnson in segment two tonight. So stay tuned. We're going to have more here on TJ Slideways Live on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back here to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. And our first guest of the evening is your 2013 ASCS Lucas Oil Series National Tour Champion. And he's making a habit of this stuff. Fourth championship in 6 years, fourth time as an owner's champion. And Jason Johnson, they're going to rename this series after you pretty soon if you keep this stuff up. Congratulations on another championship.
Well, first of all, thank you very much. And, you know, it's just a big credit to the race team. Everybody has stood behind Jason Johnson Racing for the last 4 years. It's an honor to drive it and to work with each and every one.
And you did it in fine style. You won two features to end the season, 10 features overall this year on the national tour. And it's just an amazing how you guys were able to string together that many wins. And that's an extremely competitive series that not a lot of people in my Great Lakes region around Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan don't necessarily get to see that series all that much. But it's so competitive night in and night out.
It really is. I believe our car average for the season of 50 races was right around the 40 mark. So, you know, it's 40 cars each night. And we travel to different parts. And the thing that's kind of unique about ASCS is that there are so many different regions. You know, you got guys that are really good in their area. And to go into their area and try to outrun these guys, it makes it pretty tough. So it's just a unique thing that ASCS started several years ago, and it's caught on. And, you know, it definitely helps the car count when we're traveling across the country.
Now, you have been a car owner on the ASCS Tour for many years, and you've done a lot of 410 racing and stuff out here in the past. Do you think if ASCS was not there as a sanctioning body, you'd be able to field a team as a 410 owner, like on an all-star circuit or such, or has your team not progressed quite to that point yet?
Yeah, you know, we've been striving toward that goal for a couple of years, and we actually had set our goal, to be quite honest, to do it in our third year in existence. When we formed JJR, you know, we wanted to run a couple of years as a ASCS, because that's what we're comfortable with, and you know, hopefully moving up the ranks, or you know, trying to get to the World of Outlaw status. But the things haven't worked out, and you know, obviously sponsorship and partnership has changed throughout the year, and I had a great partner, Alan Haynes from Australia, was a crucial part of starting JGR. Now that we kind of got established, he's backing off just a bit, and very fortunate Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is now a part and stepping up. So you know, we definitely need to work on this, you know, to get to the next step, I believe, to try and run at a World of Outlaw level. But we definitely don't want to do it until we feel we're going to have a competitive team day in and day out.
And it seems like we see a lot more teams doing this now where, yeah, they want to go do this, but they're racing kind of within what they know they can do competitively. But how hard is it to do that sometimes, where you can kind of look at it and go, well, maybe we could do it this way, or is it easy now? Is it easier to just go, all right, we know how many we can do, we know we can do this, let's go out and do it this way?
Well, it's a little different for us. You know, I'm not sure how everybody else does it, but as an owner, you got to stop and look at your expenses. You know, you got to take into sponsorship how much money you have coming in and how much support you have, and you got to determine on what level that you can compete at and be competitive, but yet still survive. I mean, don't get me wrong, just to go out and drive, I'd love to be on the World of Outlaw Tour, and there's nothing more challenging than I would like at this point in my career. But financially, we still have to do what's right and represent our sponsors and our partners with the championship form, and we just don't want to be a back marker just to say we're out there.
And one thing that was released at the ASCS banquet, there's the possibility of some live television next year for ASCS with MAV TV. How does that change your planning for next year with that carrot out there of some live television?
Well, you know, it really helps our series, for one, you know, to have MAV TV, American Reel, part of the Lucas Oil series. But what's really going to help us is going to, I believe, is really going to benefit the teams in the long run. So now we have an area, a market that we can actually sell to the public, where we'll be viewed in front of 27 million households. And I believe it's going to be really good for not only JGR, but some of the other teams that are trying really hard to get on the national tour. Because I believe TV exposure is definitely, you know, what these companies are looking for in the exposure, and definitely a return on investment.
And with the ALCS tour, every series has its grind part of the year where it's kind of make or break, probably middle of the year, maybe towards the end. Where do you think that point is in the ALCS tour? Where's it really hit to be a grind, and that's maybe where the championships won or lost?
I really don't know if it's, for us, we don't call it the grind. We call it the part where it's time to capitalize. But it seems to be with ASCS, the separation of the guys who are going to stick with the national tour for the season and for the guys who are going to start and fall off is when we head to the West Coast for a month or 6 weeks or not. That kind of separates, who's there to run the entire series and who's actually going to fall off. But we actually, as a team, we really look forward to going to the Northwest. We have a lot of fun out there. Obviously, over the years, we've had a lot of success out there as well. But that seems to be one of the funnest times of the year.
And how much does your team's attitude, do you think, help towards that? When you know you have a difficult stretch of races coming up, to make it to where it's enjoyable instead of dreading it, do you think that makes a huge difference?
Yeah, for sure. It's all about what you create. And that's one of the things that's, a crucial part of building a team is creating a lot of success and having fun doing it. And, I believe sometimes you get teams that, maybe the guys' hearts and souls are not in it, and you got to find the right key guys who love to be out here on the road and enjoy it day in and day out. And when you enjoy it day in and day out, you can't get enough of it. So every day you get to go race is just even more fun.
And another thing I've always noticed, and this is the strangest thing, but you became a dad, and for some reason, every Victory Lane photo I see of you, your kid looks happier than a clam and awake. And I want to know, as a dad, how in the world do you do that? That kid looks like he's in a great mood every time you're in Victory Lane's wide awake and chipper. I'm like, holy cow, how does he manage to do that?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Ever since the birth of Jax, it's definitely been an enjoyable time in my life. My wife and I really enjoyed it. And I think it's just the scheduling. We travel up and down the highway in a motorhome, very fortunate to have my family with me. And I believe, Jack's not on any type of schedule like a normal kid would be. So I don't really think he knows if it's bedtime at 8 o'clock or bedtime at midnight. So he's always up for the challenge. To be honest with you, he actually falls asleep during the race. The sound of sprint cars or the sound of racing actually puts him asleep. So I guess at the end of it all, he wakes up with excitement.
That's pretty cool. Jason Johnson joining us now. There's been some changes over at Roush Yates, which has been a very integral part the past couple of years of your program with the engine program at the ASCS and on the 410 side. How is that going to change for next year, and what is your engine program looking like for 2014?
Yeah, I'm not really sure at this point. Our main focus for 2013 is we did commit to each other for the entire season, and we're going to strive to give it our best shot to win the championship, and we capitalize with that opportunity. 2014 is still a ways to go. We had discussions with Roush Yates, obviously, over the last couple of weeks. I know Ricky has been discussing it with Ford as well. So I just have to wait and see. Ricky's a crucial part of this race team. He assured me not to worry about the engine package, that it will all be sorted out. So, with and behold, we're just going to wait and see what develops in the next few weeks.
And you mentioned Ricky Stenhouse being a part of your program. How did that relationship develop between you two to the point of where you wanted to team up with the race team?
Well, probably the crucial part is when we started JGR in 2010, Ricky actually contacted us wanting to run a competitive car for the Short Track Nationals. And we had a lot of fun. We put Ricky in a car, and we enjoyed racing together. I kind of got to do the owner side of things while Ricky was in the driver's seat. That was a bit unique and a bit different, but, it was acceptable. I enjoyed it. I looked forward to the challenge of, giving him a competitive car day in and day out. And, just one thing led to another, and obviously he had affiliation with Ford, with Roush Yates, and it's been a great affiliation, as well as AccuDot Solutions and Valvoline. So over time, things built. Ricky wanted to give back to the grassroots of racing and get involved and represent some of his partners in different fashions, and it just all worked out for the best of all of us.
And that's a pretty neat story with Jason Johnson joining us, and we were discussing off the air, this is going to be the first time in a long time that you're not going to go to Australia this year. So with this offseason, I know you have your race team to take care of, but what are you going to manage to do without going overseas this year?
Well, it's definitely going to be unique. I've been very, very fortunate to drive for two great car owners over the last 12 years down in Australia. And, I believe this year what's going to happen is, you know, I'm probably going to actually relax and enjoy a little bit of family life for once and probably do some of the things my wife would like to do instead of dragging her to a racetrack across the across the world, as far as that goes. But yeah, to go out and cut down a real Christmas tree and put up Christmas lights and just enjoy a holiday season for once, a cold holiday season for once, with my family and my new little son, Jax. Looking forward to it.
It sounds like a good plan for Jason Johnson coming up. And, man, it's been a heck of a year, you know, for you. Like I said, a great season for your race team. And how much, you know, with you owning your own team, is this something you want to do long term, or would you still like to fall into someone else's ride? Or how do you approach that as trade show season comes up?
Now, I'll be honest with you. The formation of Jason Johnson Racing was to control my own destiny. And I just felt if I had a little bit more control of my own destiny, I could hire the guys who really believed in me and try to create a race team and an atmosphere that was fun and enjoyable for guys to come work for us and to enjoy the travel up and down the highway and kind of treat them a little different, more like family. So it's been good. It's been successful. You know, obviously we won 4 championships in 4 years with a couple of different crew guys throughout the years, but every one of them are still friends, and we still talk to this day. As far as the future goes, you know, I enjoyed the part of having Ricky Stenhouse in the seat. At one time, we had Jack Dover in the seat as well as Kyle Larson representing us one weekend, and that was enjoyable as well. So I could foresee in the future, not in the near future, that, you know, to become a sprint car owner and strive to keep the successful team going, I would love to be a part of that as an owner, as well as, you know, not necessarily driving.
One last question for you, Jason. Let's say I'm getting ready to be a sprint car owner. I'm a driver owner looking to control my own destiny. What's the first part, what's the first piece of advice you would offer me to maybe not make a mistake you made early on, or a good piece of advice to make it successful early on?
Basically, your sponsors and your partners are the most important ingredient to your race team. It's important that you're doing everything on their behalf. And, you know, if you're fulfilling their needs and you're keeping your guys happy, they're going to help you exceed your goals.
Well, Jason Johnson has definitely done that. Well, Jason, congratulations on another championship. We missed seeing you race out here in the Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan area, but you know what? We're proud to have said that we've seen you race out here and that you won another ASCS National Championship this year.
Well, thank you very much. You know, we enjoyed traveling the country for sure, and, you know, we had a lot of success up in the Northeast, and, you know, hopefully we'll get back there really soon.
All right, Jason Johnson, your 2013 ASCS National Champion, joining us. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have Shane Stewart on the line. You're listening to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpax Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. My next guest was kind of an interesting story. He has been the hot driver of the silly season talk of 2014, and he was the person that had plenty of suitors for rides, it sure seemed like. And Shane Stewart, we were talking off the air. For fans that might not have ever gone through this, or anyone that's ever had a situation like this, how hard is it when you have two quality opportunities or more in your lap and you have to pick one of them? It sounds like an easy thing to do, but it really isn't, is it?
No, man, it's not. It wasn't easy for me. I mean, you know, some people can figure stuff out a little quicker than others, and kind of know, you know, in their heart or their gut, whichever one they follow, because, you know, there were several people that I talked to leading up to my decision, you know, of what direction they would go. And, you know, I had to, like, step way out of my boundaries and look at it as a business decision. But, you know, there was always a part of me that it's more than just a business decision for me. Like, it's, you know, it's the people that's involved. And, you know, I always look at it as, you know, do I think I'm going to be friends with these people? I mean, at the end of the day, you're kind of married to your team in a roundabout way. You know, you live with them, you go up and down the road with them. And, you know, I think, after reading all the press releases about Darren Pittman's championship deal, and Cale Kane, you know, made a comment about, you know, I go out and I enjoy having meals with the guys that I'm associated with, and Darren and Mandy, and you know, that's true. I think, you know, to have a successful team, you know, a championship team, I think you have to be, you know, friends outside of what you do for a living, and I think Darren and Cale and all those guys are a good example of that this year. And you know, I've heard Darren and Mandy make comments about, you know, yeah, we had, you know, dinner at my house, and while they were around Indy, and you know, when we're down there, you know, we eat with them. I think that's a big thing to me. So for my decision, there was just so many things that I had to look at, and I got the opinions of, you know, people that's been in the industry for a long, long time, and seen both sides of the fences, and, you know, there is a true, you know, when people say it's not always greener on the other side of the fence, that's very true. So I had to look at that also, because it wasn't that I was in a great situation in my career, but I wasn't in a bad situation either, because I had good people surrounding me. I was jumping in and out of cars, but I mean, it was good cars, and, you know, they were associated with good sponsors and good people that worked on them. So I wanted to make sure when I made this decision that I felt like it was 100% right for me. And, you know, it kind of came down to a deadline for me. And you know, after going to Charlotte and meeting Justin Marks and seeing what he is all about, his business ideas and what he's done with his GoPro Motorplex place, and you know, I knew then that I made the right decision. You know, Steve Succi is a very very good crew chief, and you know, I think I'm going to work well with him. He has a lot of the same traits as Paul Silva has, and his work ethic is right up there with Paul's. And you know, just talking to him and seeing what he's had to say about cars and wings and motors and all that stuff, I honestly think that I made the right decision. But it was not by any means a easy decision for me to make, but I feel like I made the right one.
And, of course, you are going to drive for Larson Marks Racing for 2014. And had you met Justin Marks before the situation started? Obviously, you knew Kyle, but did you know Justin before this all began?
No, I did not. You know, I had talked to Justin several times on the telephone, but, you know, I knew, you know, just the few times that I had talked to him, that he was a very good business person and a good family man, and but no, I didn't know him personally, and I still don't. But you know, just the little bit of time that I got to spend with him this last weekend, and you know, he just had a newborn child, and just to see how he dealt with all that with his busy business, you know, he's in a lot of different adventures as far as business goes, and some of them are new, some of them he's been in for a little while, but just see how he delegated all that with his family, and it was pretty cool to see how he did all that. You know, he's a young guy, he's my age, he's mid-30s, and but you know, when I drove into his go-kart place there in Mooresville, and to see what he's done with that, I knew that his sprint car program was going to be, you know, dealt with and looked at as a business, just like his Motorplex places, and everything's top notch, everything's first class, and that to me means a lot. So I think we're going to have a pretty successful team.
And how much had you interaction had you had with Steve Succi before the talk started about you driving the car? Obviously, he's been involved with various race teams for years, but how much had you guys talking and how much did you know of each other before the team got put together?
Not a lot, but a little bit. I mean, probably more so lately than you know, early on, but like, you know, when he got associated with Kyle and the 1K team and you know, Dave Abreu and Rico and all that, like, you know, just the ties that they had with Paul. And I got to kind of hang out with Steve a little bit at Knoxville and I actually hot lapped their car at Eldora when Kyle was running late to get there. And I had a few, conversations with Steve leading up to our deal. And, you know, I've been around the business long enough to know that I can walk up to a sprint car and know in the first couple minutes, you know, whether or not the people working on it know what they're doing and appreciate the little things of, you know, fine tuning a sprint car. Like I can distinguish the good from the bad pretty quickly. And I knew that Steve, you know, appreciated what he did and took the job of being a crew chief pretty serious just because of what he's done with the 1K. And, you know, of course, what he's done with Cody Dara with the 89 car. And, you know, I knew him from back when he worked with Stevie Smith. And he worked at Hank's Performance Parts for a while. I knew he was a good machinist. And, you know, his roots are pretty deep and he's been tied to sprint cars for a long, long time. So I think he's going to be a really good asset for me. So we'll see. But I mean, you know, I go back to, you know, you never know until you go to, you know, when you actually start working with somebody day to day, but I've kind of known from my past experiences of working with different crew chiefs and, you know, I finally kind of, I found a home with Paul Silva, and you know, it stinks that couldn't really work out, but I understand why it didn't work out. And, you know, like I said earlier, I think, Succi has, you know, the same abilities that Paul has, you know, as far as building a sprint car and maintaining it and making it fast day to day. I think they both have the same traits. So I'm really excited to work with Steve and I think it's going to be a great team. I mean, we're going to probably unveil some sponsorship in the next couple, 3 weeks, and it's pretty exciting and just really grateful for the opportunity and grateful to be associated with everything.
And now that you've made the 18 phone calls to your car owners to tell them what your plans are for next year, and you're getting ready to go to Australia, so at this point you're relieved. So what happens now at this point? What do you have lined up with the race team as far as getting ready before you leave for Australia?
Well, you know, I've been on the phone with some of my product people that's helped me, and Steve and I, we've kind of distinguished on our deals of, you know, what deals are better, my deals or his deals, and we've been going back and forth with that. And as far as Jeff and I go, we're all going to try to meet before the PRI show, which is the second weekend of December, and kind of sit down, and I'm pretty sure, not 100% sure, but I think we're going to do an unveiling of a sponsor, one of our major sponsors at the PRI show, and I'm really looking forward to that and excited about that. But, you know, a lot of the stuff, you know, the little bitty stuff that's going to add up, you know, in the future, that's kind of what we're having to deal with right now. And you know, the good thing about my situation is I know that I can rely on Steve to get everything ready, and I know my race cars are going to be put together right, and they're going to be fast. So when I get back from Australia, and I think our first race is going to be in Vegas, and so I know, you know, when we get to Vegas, that we're going to be 100% and ready to rock, and it'd be pretty awesome to try to get a couple wins there to get our team kick-started.
for 2014.
And when do you leave for Australia, and what's your plan look like for there? Are you going to follow some WSS stuff? Are you going to just hit and miss? Obviously, the Classic's probably going to be in there, but what's your plan for Australia this year?
Yeah, I'm going to be December 17th is when I leave. My first race is going to be December 20th at Warner Bowl. There's a twin feature night. We're going to shake everything down. I'm with the same team. I'm with Monty Motorsports, with Luch and Buzzy and Trace. We thought we were going to have Monster as a primary sponsor, but that kind of unraveled on us and fell through the cracks. But we're going to Milwaukee Power Tools has stepped up, and they're going to be our primary sponsor this year. You know, we started off last year in a pretty big hole. Like, we struggled car-wise, and we made some decisions on changing chassis, and it seemed to help us at the end of last year. So hopefully this year, when I go there, we're hitting on all eight cylinders, and we can really compete for the World Series title. I mean, there hasn't been an American win it since Darren Pittman, and I'd love to be the second American that wins it. And James McFadden's been kicking our butt the last couple of years, and of course Stephen Lyons, he's pretty tough down there. He's going to be running for the title, and you know, there's a lot of tough teams. Tim Kading's going back down there to run the whole series. You know, so Robbie Farr's down there. I mean, he's got a great team behind him. And you know, used to be you could go down there and kind of dominate as an American just because we raced all the time and we had more experience. And but it's not the case anymore. I mean, those guys have top notch teams and they got great programs that surround the drivers, and it's tough. But when you come back here, you appreciate it because it keeps you in shape. It keeps you mentally in shape and physically in shape. So I'm looking forward to getting down there with Monty Motorsports team and trying to compete for the World Series title.
And, man, what a play. A new race team, Australia coming up. And, man, your cup runneth over, Shane Stone, as he gets ready for this Larson Marks Motorsports deal for 2014. You guys are not running the whole World of Outlaws schedule. I saw somewhere, you know, multiple places about a 50-race schedule. Is that going to be all World of Outlaw races? Might you guys try to maybe squeeze in, like, an Ohio Speed Week or something like that in there for some all-star stuff? Or is it going to be all World of Outlaw stuff?
No. It's mainly going to be outlaw races. Of course, we're going to make all the major, the big World of Outlaw races, but there's going to be some Ohio Speed Week races in there. I think there's going to be some Pennsylvania Speed Week races in there as well. And, you know, Suchi, Steve being from Pennsylvania, there's going to be some other races in there as well from Pennsylvania, so.
Oh, you're going to get well acquainted with the posse again, so that'll be good for you. And
well, for sure. I mean, you know, I think that's really good for our program because, you know, everybody knows when you do the outlaw deal, you know, there's a couple times throughout the season that if you can go in and shine, it really makes a big, big impact on your points. And one of those, you know, is going in and out of Pennsylvania. And everybody knows that those teams are capable of beating up on the Outlaws. So to have Suchi in my back pocket is going to be pretty important to me and pretty vital because he's got a lot of experience at those racetracks and he's made some, you know, drivers go really good around those tracks as well. And that's pretty important to me. So I'm really looking forward to getting back to Pennsylvania because of there are some of the tracks that haven't been, you know, any of my favorite racetracks, but I think having him go with me there and having his setups and his ideas of how a car works, I think it's going to be pretty vital for me. So I'm pretty pumped up about that.
Well, Shane, first of all, I think it's great that you still think at mid-30s, we're young, so that's good. you're always young as you feel, right? And congratulations on this deal, and hopefully some of your friends will come up with a better nickname for you, because I heard I heard about my buddy's nickname. You know, the story behind this is we have some mutual friends, and we've joked for years that we were always going to tag someone with a nickname that was goofy, that had no meaning at all, and she was the victim of this over the weekend. And the shovel, really? They couldn't do better than that. What, I heard you heard it in the push-off lane.
Yeah, well, you know, Dane and Dan and all them, I mean, they're great guys. But so how this all came about is Dane has got more time on his hands when he's traveling going down the road. So he came to me and he's like, hey, how about we have the nickname the shovel? And I'm like, what the heck? Are you kidding me? Like, what the heck does that mean? He's like, you know, the shovel, you just keep digging. And I'm like, no. I'm like, that is not going to happen. So, because I've been anti nicknames. I'm not a nickname guy. You know, when I did run Outlaws, you know, I told John Gibson, I'm like, man, I appreciate all that, but just don't give me a nickname because I just don't need one. So anyway, Dane comes up with this nickname, the shovel, and of course, everybody thinks it's funny, and Dan and them, they thought it was going to be a good idea to really try to get it out and about during this last weekend at Charlotte. I think Johnny did actually announce it a couple times, but I'm with you, man. I don't do nicknames, but you know, whatever. It is what it is, and they actually put a little mean-looking shovel construction guy. You know, with a shovel on his hand on the side of the race car. We had a good laugh about it, but I'm not digging it, not at all.
You don't see, no pun intended. You just don't seem like a nickname guy to me. There's some guys that fit the nickname thing. It's just, you're Shane Stewart. So, and you are the driver of the Marx Larson car. Shane, congratulations on this great opportunity. We've talked a lot over the years and look forward to seeing you into this new opportunity, and best of luck in Australia coming up.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on your show again. I can't say thanks enough to all the people that's kind of gotten me to this level. I mean, there's so many different corners that I've driven for over the years, and especially over the past 2 years. I mean, you know, you always reach kind of a low point in your career, and there always seems to be a couple people that bring you up and keep your status alive, I guess you could say. And you know, there was a lot of people that did that for me, and you know, there's still a lot of guys out there that you know, believe in me, and obviously Kyle and Justin do, and just couldn't be happier for the opportunity and grateful for the opportunities that got me to this point. But surely looking forward to the next couple of years, and hopefully we can make the best of it, and I can do my job, and I know everybody that's going to be behind me is going to be doing their job, so just really looking forward to it.
Well, I have a feeling that if this deal works the way it should, we'll probably be talking after some big races with some good news, so hopefully that
happens. I hope so. I hope you're right, man.
All right, Shane, good luck and congratulations.
Thank you, man.
All right. And that will wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. We'll be back here next Monday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.